The Warrior Soul Podcast is written, edited, and produced by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that help the U.S. military veteran community to show up as the wisest, strongest, most capable versions of themselves in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about will most certainly apply to you as well. This podcast is made possible with the help of F-Bomb Nutrition. They make delicious packets of fats that you can carry around anywhere with you in little portable packets. They make macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with coconut butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they're really good for you. They don't have any sugar. They also make a lot of cheese snacks. They make meat sticks, and it's just a great company. These guys send packages of this stuff to the troops who are on the front lines overseas to supplement their MREs, and we didn't ask them to do that. They just did that on their own initiative. Really great company. If you want to get 20% off your first order of F-bombs, head over to www.droppingfbomb.com and use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout. This podcast is also brought to you with the help of Save the Brave. SaveTheBrave.org is a 501c3 charity for veterans. They run camaraderie events that include fishing, golfing. They also do a lot of work with Gold Star families. And unlike a lot of other organizations, their board doesn't take a salary. Really great organization that is doing amazing work. So go and check them out at SaveTheBrave.org. With that, thank you guys so much. Let's get into today's programming. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to this edition of the Warrior Soul Podcast. And today we are going to be talking about leadership. And here's the deal. This is an interesting subject. I don't talk much about leadership here because I think that there's a whole lot of better people that you can listen to on that subject. People like Jocko Willink, people like my friend Scott Using. There's just so much that goes on with this. But a lot of what we do talk about does involve leadership. It does involve leadership, but it's leading yourself. But today I wanted to bring on a new friend of mine. His name is Doug Ward. Doug is a veteran who's actually served in every single branch of the military, the U.S. Marine Corps, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, and I think even the Air Force. And Doug retired from the Navy, and then he got out and he started doing leadership consulting. And he's got a lot of experience with this. And what he came on to talk about today was how you can adapt your skills from the military into leadership in the civilian world. Because a lot of people think they can't do that. They think they can't translate the military style of leadership to the civilian world. The problem is, though, well, there's a lot of civilians out there that really don't have much experience with leadership who get put into leadership positions just because they present themselves a little bit better. But he's really well versed on this subject. He's consulted with a lot of companies, helped them to improve their leadership processes. And we had a great conversation. Of course, this conversation occurred in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis that you will probably still be in by the time you listen to this show. And hopefully not. I hope by the point time you're listening to this, we're out of it and it's a distant memory in the past. But yeah, great conversation, great guy, and I hope you get a lot out of it. I'm going to stop my trap over here and let's get into the show. Doug, welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast, man.
Hey, how's it going, Chris? How's things going with you, brother?
It's going good, man. We're... Today is April 1st, 2020, and we are still in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis. And so, I'm taking things day by day. I, you know, enjoying myself. I'm PTing a lot. I am reading a whole lot. I just started a book about Teddy Roosevelt, The Rise of Teddy Roosevelt, which is a fantastic book. But really just trying to enjoy life while we're going through this. What about you?
No, same thing. Trying to do a lot of that. Actually went back to school just to finish some stuff on a personal level. So I've been taking classes full time. So I do that usually at night. And then during the day, you know, try to do some stuff with work. And at the same time, like you were saying, you know, try to read something that is going to further, you know, your mental state. You know, read Teddy Roosevelt, you know, he was a great president. So I think, you know, things like that. I was just reading Carnegie's book, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, great book.
You know, and yeah, and I think, you know, these are things, you know, people need to do and reconnect with your family. This is a perfect time to do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, going, being socially distant, of course, but going for walks, having family dinners, you know, playing games, being around each other, enjoying each other while this time is going on, I think is really important. Want to start by, you know, Doug, just asking you to give your story, just in maybe like a 2 to 3 minute synopsis so everybody knows where you're coming from.
Yeah. So I started out in high school when I was a sophomore. I knew I wanted to join the military, joined Marine Corps, 1987, and was radioman. Ended up going to Desert Storm. You know, a big thing for me was when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, I wanted to be a Marine so bad. But it, one of the things that I learned was all of a sudden there was a leadership side to it. And it's, you know, once I got that leadership, you know, it was a wake up call because, you know, I had that internal fear. You didn't want to fail.
Yeah.
And I remember that was such a learning curve of having to separate from the people that were your friends and actually being impartial and having equal, you know, justice and treatment to everyone and being able to learn how to recognize everyone's talents. And I think that's a key thing in leadership. That was something, you know, in the Marine Corps, I learned very early on at a young age. And I find it very interesting when you look at that. As I went through my career, you know, my last assignment, I was leading a whole bunch of senior people. And in between that, you know, I had at one time 500 people I was responsible for. So when you look at that whole dynamic, then, you know, I was in the corporate environment working as a business executive, account representative, stuff like that. And I would run into people that they were just getting into their 40s and they were basically running into their first leadership experience when they were like, hey, you're going to be in charge of this one person. And to them, it was like, oh, man, you know, what do I do? And, you know, here it is. That one person was me. So I found myself actually trying to coach this person like, hey, you know, and they went, hey, you know, I wanted all this. I'm like, listen, I'm trying to tell you, you're kind of going about this wrong. You know, you need to do this, this, and this if you want to be successful. And if you want to keep moving up the company, they obviously put you in this position. You know, I can help you go farther, but you, you know, you have to listen. So it was a very interesting dynamic.
Oh. And did you spend your entire time in the Marine Corps or in the military? Was it all Marine Corps? Or did you switch over?
So I actually served in every branch of the military, believe it or not. So I started out in the Marine Corps. I was out after Desert Storm for a little bit. Was going to go to college. Met my wife. You know, we were dating at the time. I basically wanted to come back in. And at the time, you know, there's a huge drawdown going on. Mm-hmm. And the only service accepting anybody was the Army. And I really didn't want to do it. But I said, you know what? The hell with it. Ended up getting assigned to Germany. Right before I left, my wife and I my fiance, who's now my wife, we got married. So that was a great assignment, you know, for the first couple of years of my marriage, right? Being in Germany. Then I was trying to change jobs in the Army. They wouldn't let me. So I ended up getting out, moving to California, taking a job in the Air Force Reserve for 5.5 years. So I was out in California at March Air Reserve Base. Worked there for a while and then decided to come back in the military. And that's when I went to the Navy. And spent my last 12 years of active duty time in the Navy, you know, and then I was able to retire.
Nice.
Nice. And so you spent, so that's a combined how many years?
I was right over 20 active duty years. You know, the total years was probably around 24 to 26.
Nice. And so when you were leading an organization with 500 people, what types of stuff were you doing? What types of things were you doing?
Well, you know, that was mainly being an instructor. Wow. And so we, you know, that assignment where I had that vast amount of people, that was an assignment where you have to be very hands-on, because you have all these people getting out of boot camp, either getting ready to go into their technical training or getting out of their technical training and getting ready to go to their first assignment, you know, their first duty assignment, you know, their first actual, like, I'm not going to actually go to do my job that I was just trained to do. And I think the very interesting thing with that was you had to be more hands-on, and it was a very big test of your leadership, because even though you're dealing with these young people, you know, I found where some of the guys would get, they would try to be old school military and yell at these guys all the time. And what they weren't understanding is when you go through military training, you know, and you know this, you know, when you go through Marine Corps boot camp, after about the first week of getting screamed at, you start tuning out the screaming and you start listening to the message.
Right.
The problem was a lot of these guys are just screaming, but they weren't really getting across the message. So I said, you know, they're already past that point. You have to start talking to them and figuring them out. That's where you're going to pull out their strengths. And so that was a very interesting time. My last assignment, for example, was when I had my senior enlisted guys. So that was a very different dynamic in leadership, because I was dealing with a lot of my peers. I just happened to be the one in charge because I was a senior man, right? And with that assignment, I was dealing more with egos. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with people that are basically your peers. You just happen to be the one in charge. So you have to be able to not only deal with the egos, but also recognize their experience and their leadership and let them run with it. And, you know, I mean, that's just one of the things you have to do. You have to be able to recognize their strengths and weaknesses, and everybody plays off of them, especially if you have a team environment. Now, when you had those people that had their own agenda, and, you know, we had a few of those were the times I actually had to even step up over a peer, for example, and apply leadership principles of, you're not really here for the right reasons, and we need to fix that. And some of them, they just did not, they could not wrap their head around, it's not about you. I would tell them, yeah.
So you're saying ego is getting in the way, and a lot of these guys were just thinking about it as like just being about them and not thinking about the message they were talking about.
Correct. And the other thing is they were thinking about their next career stepping stone, but what they were doing wrong was they weren't taking care of their people.
Gotcha.
And I would tell them, listen, you want to get promoted? I'm writing your evaluation. I'm having major input into your evaluation. You know, every military branch, everybody gets a yearly evaluation. Now tell them I'm putting inputs in your yearly evaluation. You know, how can I trust you if you can't take care of people? If you can't make sure that people know how to do their job, they're trained to do their job. The morale sucks. People are trying to get out of here. You know, they're trying to go to another duty assignment early because they don't want to be here because of the way you act as a leader, or I should say, your lack of acting as a leader. So I think that's extremely huge. And it goes for the business world, especially. I've seen it on numerous occasions. You know, we've got these guys out there. You got to step up. You know, the greatest organizations always have an open line of communication up and down the hierarchy of the company. You know, if you don't listen to your people when they have great ideas, and if you think you're the one that always has the greatest ideas, what's going to happen? No one's going to want to bring those ideas up. And if it's in a corporate environment, guess what? All those ideas were going to propel you 5 to 10 years down the road in profitability, sustainability, keeping everybody employed, making people want to work there and have a purpose. When you don't do that, they're going to shut up. And then you wonder why you're starting to lose business to a competitor. And that's the same principle.
So why does that happen? Is it the organization's fault? Is it the individual's fault? Is it a combination of all of them? Is it the leadership at the top who's not translating this stuff down properly?
I think it's a combination of everything. So, you know, the leadership at the top has to cultivate an innovative environment, an idea exchange that has to go on. And for example, if I'm asking you, Chris, hey, you got any ideas? Now you say you're giving me some good ideas, and I'm like, okay, let's run with Chris's idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if I'm asking those things and I come back in another light and I'm like, okay, hey, this is a decision I made. We're going to do this. But there's nothing said about you. There's nothing given on what Chris is actually contributing. You know, after a while, you're going to kind of sit there and think to yourself, you know, I've been here 5 years. I haven't got promoted and I keep giving these ideas. Say, for example, it's a product or a service that's being offered. Mm-hmm. And it's actually propelling the company and moving the company really fast, but you're still stagnant. You know, that's going to have a major effect on people and they're not going to want to contribute. And that's when you're going to start running into issues. So you have to cultivate that environment. And a lot of times it's that middle management. You know, it's all the people that are there that are seeing, number one, where the rubber meets the road with the employees who are actually building the product or providing the service. And you know, you have to be constantly getting feedback from them when you're that manager. Hey, what are you seeing with the customers? They're coming back saying, hey, the customers are a little irritated about this, or hey, this didn't work out. Maybe we had an equipment failure on something that got sent back to the company. Hey, you've got to address those things. Listen to the people that there are building it. Listen to their ideas. They will come up with some of the best ideas to fix things in a snap.
Right. Right. So listening to your people, listening to the people who are right there on the front lines, handling customers, dealing with the actual in the trenches situations.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where a lot of companies fail.
So, you know, when it comes to middle managers and the thing about companies, you get companies in different stages, right? So you get your small businesses. At some point, that small business decides it wants to scale, right? And so as it grows, it has to take on more middle managers. And those middle managers have to increasingly translate the company's culture down to the front lines, right? And all of that, again, it comes from the top. It comes from some sort of grand strategy. In your experience, have you seen a lot of companies just fall flat on their faces when it comes to growing like this, or is it, and is that how you came about these ideas, or is there was there a particular situation that kind of brought this to mind that said, hey, I got to go out and talk to people about this?
Yeah. Some of the things I've seen is, you know, for example, I was actually at a company. This was a personal experience. And I've seen it talking to other people from other companies. And, you know, I actually had a discussion with a guy who had a company and he's trying to scale up. And one of the issues he had was one of the people he had, he's interviewing the guy. And I told him, I said, you know, if you're trying to scale up, the people you're hiring, especially when you're a small company, it's extremely critical, because if you hire the wrong people, it can take you down a rabbit hole you don't want to go down.
Right.
That's going to cost you a lot of money. And as we were discussing, she was talking about a guy he had, and as he brought him in, come to find out, this guy really wasn't there for the company. The guy actually admitted in the interview that he wanted to, in 6 months, lead the company, set up his own company, and mimic exactly what was being done here to set up his own company, basically take business from this company.
Yeah.
I was in shock. I'm like, you're kidding me. He goes, no, I couldn't believe it. I said, that's why it's critical. And he actually, to his credit, he was actually able to figure out something's not right in this interview. Like, the guy had all the qualifications. Okay. But there was something in their interview, and he was able to pinpoint and just ask the guy a question like, well, what's your plan in 6 months? Oh, well, you know, in 6 months, I plan to start my own company. Well, number one, that's what caused attention. So what do you mean you want to start your own company? And then that's when, you know, the whole conversation led to what, you know, what I just described. My experience that I had, one of the big experiences I had, I was working at a company and a new vice president had gotten hired and came in and completely changed the way everything was done. Now, some of the initial things were very tough, but it was how they were treating the people. I mean, I actually saw women coming out of the bathroom after being in discussion with the VP look like they were emotionally wrecked, like they were bawling. And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, like this, something's not right about this. I mean, that's just basic humanity, okay? You shouldn't be making your employees cry. If it's gotten to that point, number one, you're setting yourself up for a lawsuit.
Right.
You know, there's just so many things. I watched, I think, was it, they had a production floor. And I think I watched them one week, a manager, and I think it was like 20% of the production floor turn in resignation papers within 1 week. So it was like 7 people total. And I was sitting there and people were like, well, you know, if they want to leave, you know, we can always hire new people. And I'm thinking, okay, we've got these contracts that have to be fulfilled and everyone's already working overtime.
Right.
So now it's about to crank up even worse because you're too stubborn to take care of the people and throttle back on someone's behavior who's actually in charge.
Right. So when you're hiring middle managers, I mean, that's at a particularly important point, right? Because what you've got to do is you've got to identify whether or not they have the leadership skills present in order to be able to lead the rest of your team. And so, you know, in your mind, and I know you have some hiring experience, what are some things that people should look for in their middle managers as they're going through the hiring process?
Well, you know, if say, for example, if you're going to bring people in as a middle manager, first off, try to promote with them. You want to cultivate that, you know, that type of environment within the company, because that, number one, that builds loyalty within the company. Now, not saying you don't want to bring in people from the outside, because sometimes they'll bring fresh ideas that maybe someone there isn't thinking about. But you also want to have that loyalty within the company of, and I'm not talking about blind loyalty, I'm talking about loyalty to the purpose and impact of what they're doing every day. You need to have a vision, and your vision needs to be no more than two sentences that everybody is very on board with. There's a clear understanding of what it's basically like in the military. What's the mission statement? Okay.
Right.
So that would be your vision. And when you're looking at the managers, if you're going to be promoting someone, for example, that's one of the actual worker bees, and you're going to bring them into that initial management position, you want to recognize that, number one, they can be the greatest person at their job, but how do they deal with the other people? And as you bring them in and you put them in that management position, don't just make them a manager, you know, have someone, another manager who's senior to them, who actually has their stuff together, where, you know, male, female, whoever, and they're there to guide them for the next year and be their sounding board.
Gotcha.
You know, that's one of the things I experienced when I was in the Navy as a chief petty officer. When I made chief petty officer, I had a senior chief who was my sponsor when I went through chief's initiation, induction, whatever you want to call it. And it was a 6-week period. Well, after that, him and I stuck together for that year. So once a week, twice a week, we would meet up and he would ask me, okay, what are things you had to do this week? What are the decisions you had to make? And we would go over them.
Gotcha.
And sometimes he would shoot holes in some of the stuff, decisions I made, where he'd say, hey, you know, that was a good decision. All right, what's your next step? But it was like a mentor. You know, he was basically my mentor. And, you know, since I've retired, you know, still keep in contact with him. And then, you know, so when you have a company, it's the same concept. When you're bringing that manager in, you want to have a senior manager actually mentoring that person. And I think that's a very huge thing, you know, for any individual, especially someone that's just getting into the management realm. And they're actually, because part of management, a function of that is leadership.
Right.
So you have to be able to, you know, help them, guide them along. They're making some bad decisions. Say, hey, what, you know, why do you make that decision? You know, this is not how the company does it. And here's why.
Gotcha.
And here's the other thing. What if you want to take that manager and make him into a vice president?
Right.
You know, and I'm the CEO, or you're the CEO, and you're like, hey, Doug, I'd like to bring you up as a VP. where you, we don't even have that discussion, but you're looking at myself and maybe like two other people. So you're looking across the board like, okay, who has the most productive department or what have you?
So when you're looking for these people, you need to cultivate them. There needs to be a process in place so that at every step of the way, you're helping them to improve their skills. And not only improve their skills as managers, but there's also that soft skill of leadership and dealing with people on you know, multiple levels, the emotional level, making sure they're good with people, making sure that they're communicating properly. And so, you know, when you go into a business, is this the stuff you're working with? Are you helping them to create these processes?
Yes. That's one of the things I like to sit down and basically break it down. Okay. You know, and not only that, but even from the senior leadership, you know, there's a portion where, you know, how are they looking at the next promotions, for example, for the vice presidents, when you have the managers, you know, what manager has the lowest turnover rate? What manager has the best morale? And it's kind of like a weight and balance scale, you know, checks and balances. And you want to make sure, you know, that the next person you bring in that, because that vice, once you get them in that vice president role, they're going to be overseeing all the managers. So you kind of want to have a trickle down effect on the way they're treating people, that they're able to get it down to the other managers.
And so how do you measure that stuff?
Well, you know, you can look at, you can look at some hard data if you wanted to. Okay. This division, this person had this division. How many people quit?
Right.
How many people have done great things? What was the production level? What was the success rates of the service or, you know, or let me put it this way. What was the lack of complaints or the increase in complaints? Who had the most, what, you know, things that were going on? Those are the type of things you can look at. You know, and if you're the CEO, one of the things I like to say, you know, we brought up the vision. You know, that vision statement's got to be on point. It's got to be bulletproof to where everybody understands what they're doing. And, you know, each manager, look at your workplace as a bookcase. So each shelf would be like, say it's one's production, one's shipping, one's, you know, whatever you want to call it, the trucking division. But each one of them, the manager should know each one of those books or have a pretty good understanding of the books. Now, the CEO should have a basic summary of all the books. And unless you're in like in a large, large corporation, right? But they should have a basic understanding. The other thing is, you know, if you're the CEO of a company, the VPs, what are you doing in the morning? Are you going straight to your office, or are you actually maybe parking in the back of the parking lot instead of that front parking lot space right next to the door, you know, walking through the parking lot, going in, having a cup of coffee, not having small talk, but actually connecting with people and asking people how they're doing, how's things with your family, how's your kids doing, and actually looking people in the eye, because those are huge things. You know, one of the big things, you know, in my life, and it's just military and civilian world, is if someone's not really looking me in the eye, or is just kind of mimicking small talk, mm-hmm. I have a real hard time having trust with that person.
Right. Yeah, that's stuff we all learn, and we all kind of develop as we go along, and that takes a lot of experience to kind of learn that as well, though.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, you know, I've had people reach out to me on like LinkedIn and things of that nature, and they're saying, you know, I've actually had people actually hitting me up about the individual coaching, you know, of overcoming their fears, just because, you know, they heard me talking in a couple of interviews, some stuff I'd put on LinkedIn about getting out of your comfort zone. You know, you, Chris, and I are going to, we're going to lead different.
Right.
I'll probably, like, if you and I were together and I was around you for a while, I would see things you do that I would love. Mm-hmm. And there might be a few things I'll say, you know what, that's not going to work for me. Not that it's bad. It's just for my personality and the way I am, I know that wouldn't be a good fit. You know, for example, you know, look at all the commanders you've ever had, or, you know, let's not even talk about your commanders, but like your gunnies, or, you know, maybe your master sergeant, you know, maybe a first sergeant, whoever. Maybe some of the sergeants when you were younger in the military, right? Mm-hmm. There was qualities you saw in some of them that you took those and incorporated them into what? who you were and who you became as a leader.
Right. Right.
So it's the same thing. You know, people have got to do that. So, you know, it's pulling it out of people to say, hey, what were some of the greatest things you ever saw? And they'll say, oh, I saw this, I saw that. Okay, well, that's who you should be then. If you like that, just incorporate it into your personality. You don't have to do it exactly that way, but fit it into your personality where people can relate to you. You have to be relatable.
Right. And then there's some people that I've encountered who were horrible leaders, and I learned a lot from them as well. Just about how not to lead, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was a lot of that I saw. And, you know, it's disappointing to see it. And sometimes you try to say, hey, you know, have you thought about doing something this way? Who's a senior person? A lot of times people get very defensive about that. And you have to break it down in a way that makes them understand.
Right.
You know, I had the opportunity, I got to serve with special operations when I was in the Navy on two assignments. And so I was working with the SEALs and I did communications for them at two assignments. And a lot, you know, especially my last assignment, that's where I retired, especially with Constance Team 2. And the thing people need to understand is when you have people, you have to delegate and delegate with trust. Now, are you going to follow up? Of course, you're going to follow up to make sure things are done. One of the things I found out was I'd brought in some guys from my previous special warfare assignment. And as I brought them in, I mean, these guys were pipe hitters. And as I brought them in, you know, I recruited them there because I was working 16-hour days because we were starting up a new element, you know, a new division. And as we were doing this whole thing, after about 3 months, they were pretty pissed off with me. And we ended up having a meeting and they're basically like, Doug, you're not letting us do anything. You're doing everything. You brought us here. You know, we might as well leave. You know, that was a wake up call. It kind of caught me off guard. It was like a punch in the gut. And, you know, kind of hurt my ego a little bit because, you know, I was thinking about my ego. And then when I sat back for a couple hours and thought about it, you know, we all went to lunch. When we sat down, I said, okay, hey. And then we divvied up the work. And, you know, I actually apologized. I did not realize what I was doing. I made a fatal error. But once I did that, here's the rub, Chris. Once I did that, guess what it did for me on a personal level? On a personal level, I actually was working 4 to 5 hours less a day. So I got more time. I was actually seeing my kids and actually having dinner at home.
Yeah.
And seeing them and being able to talk to them for the next day.
Hey guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. You know, the Warrior Soul podcast is built with the mission to empower its listeners to live absolutely epic lives. And that's why we recently created a group called the Warriors Obituary Society. This group is built to empower its members to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with an 8-week development program. And with this development program, what you're going to do is you're going to outline a vision for your life. You're going to get very specific about what you want. Because without that specificity, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing. From there, we help our members to develop specific goals, objectives that they are going to push toward, and that their fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society are going to hold them accountable to. From there, we're getting down into specifics. We're going to help you to develop and customize your own personal fitness and nutrition plan to help to fuel your body and fuel your mind for the quest ahead. From there, we're going to work on your personal finances. We're going to help you to knock down debt. We're going to help you to start saving money and to create a plan so that you can start investing in your dreams. Then we're going to get into your business and career. We're going to help you to develop the skills that you need to develop yourself so that you can have a major impact in the field you choose. If you choose to go into business, we're going to help you to set up the foundations that you need to create your own company and get started on your path in life. From there, we're going to be working on your relationships. We're going to help you to develop a world-class network. And all along the way, you're going to have your fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society pushing you in every single area. We meet once a week over a live call, and we're constantly communicating
over our own private forum on Slack. We don't do anything over social media, and that's because I don't want anybody feeling like anyone's looking over their shoulders, and I don't want you exposed to the crazy, distracting alerts that you get on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This one does not. For the price, it is the best development program on the internet. And that's because our mission here at Warrior Soul is to empower people to get more out of life so that they can in turn make the world a better place. We've got a great mix of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians in this group. We wanted to keep it really eclectic so that we get a lot of different types of views up there and a lot of different people with different areas of expertise. If you think that this is something that would be of interest to you and that this is something that could empower you to live your absolute best life, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can sign up today. And if you have any questions about it, just reach out to me at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. I'm happy to even sit down with you for a phone call for a few minutes to see if the group is right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there, and let's get back to this awesome interview.
Well, you know, it seems like when you're in the trenches, right, particularly if you're a small business owner, right, and I think a lot of guys who get into business initially, you know, you're working those 16-hour days, you're grinding away, you got to learn a little bit of everything, you're doing your books, you're doing customer service, you're fulfilling orders, you are doing, you're doing janitorial stuff around the office, right? And I think what happens for a lot of guys is as they are going through this, they tend to lose perspective, right? Because they can't see the situation from up high, right? And they're it's like being in a jungle where you don't see a clear path ahead. And so, you know, I think for a lot of guys out there who might be running small businesses right now, they're in that type of situation. And, you know, it's hard to see the forest for the trees, and it's hard to delegate. You know, what would you say to those guys who are in that situation right now?
You know, delegation is kind of like outsourcing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I try to tell people is my job is to look at a 30,000 foot view and say, hey, you know, where, what is, like, you tell me your mission statement, tell me your vision, like, what is the impact you want to have? Like, when you show up every day, what is your purpose?
Right. Okay?
Because that purpose leads to your impact. So tell me where you see this company going.
Right.
And if they start giving you a confused answer, well, you know, I want to do this because, you know, I want to have this end result. Okay, get specific. Are you niching down on something, or is it like a general product, you know, or a service? Like, what are you really trying to do? Because a lot of times, like you just said, people lose sight because they're just trying to do the day-to-day stuff. And what they need to do, and I tell them, listen, this is the same thing as when you hire an employee. You should know where you want to be in 1 year, 5 years, and 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have that 10-year goal, okay? Where do you want to be? Well, I want to be here in 10 years. Okay. Well, what are you doing to get there? Well, you know, we're starting off here. Okay. Stop. You need to start at the 10-year mark and reverse engineer it. If you right. want to be this size company at such and such a time, how are you going to get there? All right. Now you need to work backwards. What would be the steps? Lay it out. Now start working on those first steps. Once you hit that one goal, you know, you've got to that certain run on the ladder. Guess what? That is now your baseline. Now you're moving up to the next. Now you're moving up to the next. And a lot of them, they can't see that because they're still hung up on getting to that first rung because they just don't know what the end goal is. The rung keeps changing direction. It's right. like the needle, you know, the needle, it's going all over the place.
Right. So if you're in that type of situation, the first thing you got to try to do is figure out how you can delegate, right?
Yes.
Right. And so, you know, particularly in a situation like we're in right now with this COVID-19 thing,
A lot of companies are, I mean, besides the you know, millions of people who are getting laid off and things like that, a lot of people are working from home right now. And then a lot of small businesses are going to have to go to virtual employees or virtual assistants who might be contractors. And so there's a whole different level of management communication there, right? So what would your advice be to them?
Well, first off, you know, and that's actually a really good question, because a lot of companies were so focused on having everybody, they were adult babysitting, let's be honest.
Right.
Everybody's got to be in the office, because a lot of companies are afraid that if they let their employees work out of the house, they're not going to work. That they're going to, let's be honest, that they're going to fuck off. No, they're not. You need to throttle back and treat them like adults. It's like, you know, I have two daughters. When they were growing up, when I talked to them, I did not talk to them like kids. Now, they were kids, but what I talked to them like an adult, because I wanted them to understand like the level, the place I wanted them to go. Mm-hmm. And there was a marked difference between my kids and other kids when, for example, when I went to a restaurant. I'd see kids climbing all over the damn place, and my kids are sitting there at a table, acting polite, eating their food, enjoying the atmosphere, looking at the other kids like they're freaking crazy.
Right.
You know, so it's the same thing with your employees. And a lot of companies right now, everybody's scrambling to get on, for example, Zoom, you know, get a Skype service now, because, hey, you know, we want to have some virtual meetings just to be able to talk to people. So now there's this huge scramble. And because they weren't ready for it at the time, you know, and now look at the situation we're in now. You know, I don't know about you, but the internet has been sketchy.
Right. Very
sketchy. Since this all happened. Because why? Because everyone's at home. Mm-hmm. You know, and we also have all the kids now are taking virtual school now. So all their school lessons, because they're, you know, all the schools are shut down in the country, basically, they're all having to do everything online. So, I mean, you have to set yourself up and treat your people like adults. Now, if they right. prove you wrong, that's when you cut them loose. But you've got to be able to, you know, start off and delegate with trust. Hey, are you going to be disappointed? Yeah, we're all going to be disappointed. But you have to take that and accept that fact. Once you accept that fact, it'll set you free.
Right. Right. Now, you know, another thing to bring up here is, you know, for those of us who are working from home, you know, you might not be in the office, but I think it's also important to, you know, maybe set up a workspace and make sure that, you know, you're not in a place where your kids are going to be climbing all over your shoulders and things like that, you know, and even to the point of, you know, not hanging around in your pajamas all day, but actually getting dressed up. That could change your mindset a bit about what you're going to do for the day. It can get you into the mindset that, you know, you're going to accomplish something. And I would say, even if you are one of those people who maybe lost their job because of this, which I think is an absolutely unfortunate circumstance of this whole thing. You know, I think we're in a place where we might be heading to some serious economic contraction. I think it's important for those of us who might not have a job right now to still get up every day, to treat it like a job, to find your next thing, to find your next mission, and to still get dressed and to still get on there and put those hours in, right?
Yeah, it's a mindset. You know, I'm still getting up at between 5 and 6 in the morning. You know, I have some quiet time where I'll drink my coffee and actually do the mental notes of what I got to do. I'll look over a checklist of things I know. Maybe I didn't get done the day before. Maybe there's a couple things that I just couldn't get to. I just had that added to the list. But, you know, depending on the priority of it, it might go to the top of the list. And I think that's very huge. Everybody needs to look at it that way. And like you were bringing up, you know, the mindset. You know, you might want to put on a nice dress shirt. Right. Yeah, you're not going anywhere. And I'm not talking dress to the nines, but get yourself in that mindset. You know, if you're going to work out, you know, whether you work out at night or work out in the morning, you know, keep those things up. Just because you're in the house doesn't mean you can't do it. Trust me, there's all kinds of stuff you can do for a workout in your house. You know that, and I know that. So,
right.
You know, we've been working out of the house. take advantage of the extra time you have, because now you're not doing what? You're not commuting to work. You're not commuting from work. You know, right. The average, I think, drive is what, 1 hour and 15 minutes in the United States or something along those lines. Now you just freed up, what, 2.5 hours of your time. Utilize that time to get your work done, get what you know needs to be done, and then use that extra time that you have left over. You know, make it efficient, try to have a schedule, but then use that extra time to spend with your family.
Yeah.
And I think that's really huge. It's a mindset thing. Just like you said, it's extremely huge, because if you're going to work out of the house, you got to have some type of self-discipline. Now, that's not saying you can't in the middle of the day do what? Hey, you know, the kids are there, you're there. Maybe they finish up some schoolwork. You do a couple calls. Maybe you've had some stuff you were working on. It's submitted. You know, you got some stuff you want to get done in the afternoon. Hey, go for that bike ride in the afternoon after you have lunch with the kids. Come home. Boom. Hit your stuff. Get it done. There's nothing saying you can't do that. You actually have more time on your hands now to actually think about what you want to do.
Yep.
And this is actually a good time if you want to change careers to start reaching out to people.
It's a great opportunity to do that. It's a great opportunity to enrich yourself. It's a great opportunity to learn something else. You know, there is so many online courses out there on coding, on learning machine learning programs. You know, on different things you could do. You could excuse me. You could learn a language. You could do so many different things during with just that extra hour of time, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, that's exactly what I was talking about. You know, and take the extra time at night. You don't have to sit there and look at the TV all night. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, a lot of people like get into this binge watching on Netflix. And I'm thinking, you know, there's nothing wrong with watching a movie, maybe sitting down with the family or, you know, maybe your spouse, whatever. But actually pick up a book. I love going to actual bookstores and actually buying the physical book. That's a thing for me. Some people like to buy ebooks or, you know, is the Kindle, things of that nature. Me, I've always liked to actually have the physical book, because sometimes I like to make notes in them, you know, especially books on something that I might learn or that just really resonates with me. And I think that's huge. You know, like you were bringing up, you know, you're reading about, you know, Theodore Roosevelt. You know, I'm sure there's a ton of stuff you'd like to, like, you know, dog ear the page, or, you know, put like a little note next to it. Like, man, this really resonates. This was like this was a really great statement he made, and it really resonates with me. You know, things like that, that, you know, you can always reflect back on to kind of maybe help, you know, guide yourself and provide a little more fidelity in your life.
Yep. Yep. And seeing what kinds of hardships he went through too. I mean, the guy lost his wife at, you know, he was barely 22 years old, 23 years old, lost his wife, was left with a daughter, and, you know, kind of went crazy for a little bit before he came back. And, you know, I think it's important in these types of situations to see what other people went through at other times and how they dealt with hardship.
Yeah, exactly. No, and you're really good. You know, there's another book I have. It's The Gift of Adversity, or Adversity is a Gift. And it's from Marcus Aurelius Anderson. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was 37 years old, and he joins the army. You know, he's like, I want to contribute. I want to do something, you know, that I've always wanted to do. I'm 37. I'm getting a waiver to get in the army. And he got paralyzed in a training accident.
Yeah.
And through just sheer willpower and understanding and, you know, getting from a person who is sitting there, you know, paralyzed to, and, you know, drinking and just doing all this other stuff, to basically become this person that all of a sudden just did a mind switch and just changed their mindset and said, I can't live like this. If I don't make a change now, I'm done. And now is actually walking, does TEDx speeches, is a public speaker, has written his, you know, bestseller. I got to meet him last year, and, you know, it's myself and another guy I served with, and, you know, we were just sitting there talking to him. Now, he had a great story to tell at this conference in Charleston called the Freedom Fest, and, you know, he just, the whole crowd was just quiet. because he was talking about, you know, basically what he had to go through in his mind to overcome the adversity he was in. Is basically, had he not had that adversity, he would not be where he's at. He would not have learned the lessons he's learned about appreciating life and going for it. Now he's like, you know, there's nothing that's going to stop me. And, you know, that's the big thing too. You just can't let anything stop you. You know, if it's physical, maybe you got some medical condition, you know, maybe that's a gift. Maybe that's something to make you realize, you know, life's short. We're all going to die. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people fear it. You know, we all have a fear about it. And most of the time, it's not about fear about dying. It's about a fear of how we're going to die. Right. But you have to wrap your mind around it. Time's limited.
Right.
You know, what are you doing?
Right.
Do you want to be that person that's in hospice or in a day, I want to say daycare center? You know what I'm saying? The senior homes. And you don't want to be sitting there having so many regrets that makes you sit back and it just takes you into a spiral of depression that accelerates the end of your life.
Right.
You know, we want to contribute as much as we can, as long as we can. So if you want to do that, then you need to start taking action now.
No, you're very right on that. I mean, I had Noah Currier on this podcast a few weeks ago. He's a paraplegic and he is, you know, he got back from a deployment, got into a car accident 3 days after he got back from deployment, lost the ability to use his legs. And then 2 months after that, he lost his fiance in another fatal car accident. And, you know, he was at the end of his wits, but he figured out something that brought him meaning and he started a company around it. And that company is Oscar Mike. And he's living an amazing life. And of course he's physically limited, but he's just such an inspiration. And we could all look to stories like that to help us to move forward.
Yeah. And I think people need to understand, you know, there's some people that have all their faculties. You know, and I remember when I was in high school, for example, you know, I had the mental faculties to probably have straight A's, but I was like a DNF student. I barely graduated just so I could join the Marines. Why? Because I just didn't apply myself.
Right.
And that goes through everything in life. You know, there's a lot of opportunities that are going to be out there for you. The question is, are you going to take them? Or are you going to, is fear going to overcome and keep you from doing it? Because, you know, is the fear, oh, is it a fear of, you know, what other people are going to think? Is it a fear of just, you don't have a set of stones? You know, what is it?
Right.
And, you know, you got to drill down on like, what's the cause of that fear and actually laugh at it in the face and just move on. You know, for me, when I started my company, you know, my fear was, I mean, if I start this company, what are people going to think?
Right. Right. Exactly.
I mean, that actually was going through my mind. And then finally I was like, you know, I'm just doing it.
Well, so how did that point come about? What made you say, hey, I'm going to do this. I don't care.
You know, I was in a toxic work environment and I'm thinking to myself, you know, after everything I've been through and how did I get myself into a work environment like this? And, you know, it wasn't like it was just me. I mean, I was watching a whole bunch of people going through a rough period. And I thought to myself, you know, I'd already, like, I made a mental note in my head. I have to. Now, you know, you think, look at my background, right? I've been a Marine. You know, you think, man, you know, like, I didn't have a problem doing anything in the military. Like, I just did it, right? I'm going to do it. If there's something I want to do, I'm going to do it. Here I am, I'm retired. I'm thinking, how am I going to get past that? And I'd seen a guy online on LinkedIn. And him and I started talking, Kurt Mercadante. He's a coach. And I hired him as a coach. And him and I started having some conversations, you know, one-on-ones. And he said, Doug, what's keeping you, man? Okay. He said, set a date when you want to set your company up. So I set the date. He's like, okay. Now reverse engineer. What do you got to do? And I was like, wait a minute. I already know this stuff. He's like, exactly. He goes, but you let other things get in your way that blocked who you actually were. Right. And that's what I do, is I get, you know, I'm trying to help people do the same thing. Where do you want to be in 10 years? Mm-hmm. Like, I love what you're doing. You know, you're actually trying to help people bring out the best in themselves, like you're doing for yourself. Help one, help all. You know, what was it Reagan said? You can't help everybody, but you can help someone. You know, and you have to choose to want to be helped and to help yourself. So, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, once I made that decision and I filed the paperwork, I just got online, started filing paperwork for a company. Now I went through a couple names. You know, you're trying to get the names. Nope, that company's taken. Nope, that's probably not going to work. You know, and you're just going through this. And then once I did that, then I'm like, well, it's set up. Now what do I do, right? So every time you set up something, you know, you take that one step, you know, now you're moving on to the next thing. Now you're moving on to the next thing. And it's just a process. And the thing is, yeah, are there roadblocks? Yeah, I've had roadblocks. I'm sure you have too. That's part of the journey. Use those as stepping stones, but stepping stones that you learned from, and correct the mistakes that you made along the way. Yeah. And it doesn't hurt talking to someone like yourself, myself, other people. Get another perspective, because sometimes you'll be surprised at some of the things you hear. You might not want to hear them, but it's going to help you grow.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Doug, where can people find you? Where can people learn more about what you do?
Yeah. So I tell a lot of people, I'm on LinkedIn, Douglas Ward. My company is anchorstrategiesllc.com. And then, you know, you can reach out there. I'm going to be printing out a newsletter. I'm going to be starting a podcast with my friend Tommy. It's nice. Going to be about leadership.
Nice.
Vision. Purpose and impact. We've already done, I think, 3 or 4 recordings so far. Mm-hmm. And awesome. The thing, yeah, so it's going to be The Truth with Danger Doug and Tommy Guns. And yeah, pretty funny. My nickname was Danger. When I was in free fall school, I actually got sent home after my 15th jump. I had 2 low pulls, which was safety violations. And they're like, yeah, kind of getting people a little nervous. So, yeah, definitely, brother. But yeah, that's where you can find me. I'm also on Instagram. I'm starting to get active on Instagram. And on Instagram, they can find me at The Truth with Danger D.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll definitely get those up on the show notes. Doug, I want to thank you for coming on today. I know it's a crazy time. I know you got loved ones who are out there trying to help the situation right now too. You know, for everybody at home, we went through a lot of stuff today. And my advice is to go through this with a notebook, maybe go back and take some notes on some of these points, particularly when it comes to leadership and some of the things we talked about as far as getting your life together in order to accomplish things. And, you know, no matter where you are, what you're doing, it's never too late to start planning forward and to start thinking about what you want to do, where you want to be, and what kind of impact you want to have. And so, Doug, again, thank you so much. And, you know, everybody out there, live your best lives while you can. I know you're inside. I know you can't go out. I know it's a hairy situation, but there's still some good that can be done. So.
Yeah, definitely, Chris. I appreciate, you know, you having me on here, and you take care, Warrior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, gents and ladies, we will be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content. This is Chris and Doug, and we are out.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mr. Doug Ward of Anchor Strategies. You can find Doug up on LinkedIn, and we'll have the link to that on our show notes. We'll also have a link to his website. And again, I hope you got a lot of lessons out of that conversation. You know, leadership is something that doesn't come easy to everybody. Some people seem like they're born leaders, but regardless if you're a naturally good leader or if you're somebody who needs to brush up on their leadership skills, everybody's got to work on it. And it's definitely something that holds value in paying attention to. Outside of that, guys, I don't have a whole heck of a lot of announcements. The biggest thing that I need from you, the only thing I need from you, like I always say, I don't care if you ever spend a dime with Warrior Soul. I just need this information shared out. I need you to tell your friends about the podcast. I need you to head over to iTunes to write us a written rating and review. The more we spread the word out about this show, the more we are going to be able to get more veterans to listen, and the more veterans I'm going to be able to help. So please do that for me. And other than that, if you want to check out the rest of our content at Warrior Soul, head over to www.warriorsoulagoge, that's AGOGE.com. If you've got ideas for topics or for guests, just email me over at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. If you want a t-shirt, you head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. If you want a book, a fitness program, or anything like that, head over to www.warriorsoul.academy. And if you want to join the Warriors Obituary Society, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. With that, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening. Get out there and live your best lives while you can. This is Chris Albert, and I am out.